Cyclops, Wolverine, and the Nightcrawler. Went to a bar, and yo, they had dollars. Rolled an Impala, hitting all switches. But Richie Rich Riches pulls all the bitches. So turns on the headset, like Jody Jetson. Here comes Barbie, look who she met said. Hanso, Fredo, Fredo, fuck the kettle.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to have a little fun.
It's a small world.
Betty Boop's a tall girl wrapped around the neck of lake. That was all pearls, Isis, Medusa, dancing on tables. Joker's got a lap dance from Charlie's Angels.
It's the official's adventures of...
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Richie.
I'm Zach.
I'm here.
No, you're Sean.
I'm Sean.
Sean.
They know you're here with your voice. I'm
present.
Present.
Excellent.
So we are recording again, and I'm happy to get another podcast out. This is good. We're being super consistent. I say with a shifty eye. So, for those of you listening, welcome, and let's hopefully we can give you a smile today. Why don't we start off with the news, Zach?
Excellent. So, a couple things we want to talk about. Some in-store stuff and some just what's going on in the industry right now. One of the big things that we talked about it the last time we did a podcast, but now it's been officially announced from the head of marketing at Marvel Comics that Marvel is not going to reboot. It will not be a line-wide sort of thing like a Rebirth.
Yeah, we did hint at this. Yeah, we thought that there would probably be a reboot, and it
they said
out.
They said in the fall they were going to do something line-wide.
Not so much.
And they said that what they're going to do is that they want to bring back classic characters, mm-hmm. and they want to do new number ones with new characters, and they want to make sure that they kind of get back to their roots. But that does not mean getting rid of the other stuff.
Right.
So it's not going to be, like some people thought, maybe a 15-year-old Spider-Man and the Avengers. I think it'll be like Cap, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and regular Thor as the Avengers, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be a reboot where this is the first time they meet or anything right. like that.
Which is fair, because that's kind of what DC did as well with the Rebirth. It's a realignment of the characters themselves, and I think that's a better way to go, because you don't need to lose the audience that you built with the current shift in your direction anyway.
Yep.
So,
well, and like I said, at the end of the day, I think that as long as they put good writers and artists on books with characters that people care about,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Do I think that, one of the things we always talk about is the female Thor.
Right.
They're fans of that book. Should you alienate them and say that the reason why you like this book is never going to be seen again? No.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Thor fans that want to read about regular Thor. So Thor should have his own book,
mm-hmm.
and she can show up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it warrants it, give her a book too. If the market can sustain both those books, then do it.
In comic books, we can have our cake and eat it too.
Yes.
You know, it's not a one trick pony when mm-hmm. you can give them it. If you're willing to buy it, they're willing to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the important thing to go with.
Yes, and I think that I think it's a good plan, because you should bring back some of the classic stuff to
It's funny to me that they don't want to use the word reboot.
I know.
I just...
It does come with a shadow in this world,
man. Sure, you're not rebooting, whatever.
Well, and I get...
Nobody's ever rebooting.
If they're
you're
not
just
ever.
Changing your entire thing to basically go back to stuff that you has worked for 70 years.
There was in another podcast, kind of they were talking about Alien Covenant and how it was... how it's kind of like a reboot of Aliens, but not really, but kind of, but not really.
Different, yeah.
But really kind of.
Well, and see, and I get it. If you don't want to, and reboot does have the connotation with it of changing something from the beginning, you know. So if you say, oh, yeah, we're going to go back to Peter Parker in high school dealing with all of his problems, and that's the new
Maybe
number
this
one.
This could just be a reformatting.
That's, yeah, and I think that's what they're going to be doing is a reformatting. I think that all the stuff that's happened has happened, and they're going to continue with it, but I think they're going to get back to some of the classic stuff, bringing back Xavier, bringing back some of the classic X-Men, bringing the Avengers, the classic Avengers that we know from the movies and the things that we love.
Yeah,
you know, so which is
I understand
which is
they want to try to be progressive with what they were doing for the last year or two, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a fan base, you basically alienate completely by doing that. Because I talked to a lot of people who've been reading comics for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, I don't know any of this stuff. I don't recognize any of this stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. So.
Yep. And you gotta.
Maybe this is for them.
There's a balancing act. I understand you gotta make new characters and you gotta keep things fresh and new, and that's nothing wrong with that at all. But you can't throw out the old stuff either. Some people. A lot of people want to read about their Thor Odinson with his hammer fighting villains. They have since the 60s, and it's been going for so long because they love that. Mm-hmm. People love that. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you're Iron Man. They want to see Tony Stark being Tony Stark. And I'm not saying that you can't bring other characters in, and they have with War Machine, and now with... Riri Williams, and there have been some people who really like that character, which is great. And if she deserves her own book through the fan base, then she should get her own book.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who just want to read about Tony, where are they at right now? You know, if Tony was the thing that you grew up with, and that's you know one of the characters you absolutely love. What's going on there? And like I said, I don't like getting into the DC Marvel, what they're doing, but DC has a Hal Jordan book with the original Lanterns that you love, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kilowog, Sinestro, but they have a Green Lanterns book for the people who are just jumping in, and the first Green Lantern stuff they ever read was Rebirth.
Something they can get onto and go, hey, yeah. This is cool.
And there are people out there that buy that book, and their Green Lanterns are Jessica and Simon, which is cool.
Yeah.
Like you said, everyone wins.
That's correct.
But if you said Simon and Jessica are the only Green Lanterns you get... That's going to hurt some people.
Right.
So I'm happy to hear that they're going to do that, because I think that's good for them and for us.
Again, getting any awesome Marvel, I'd love, because I want to read Marvel like I read DC currently, and with something that like that, I think that there's a shot I could really dive in and get my teeth into something juicy there.
So. Absolutely.
And then we'll own you forever.
That's right.
Absolutely. The other thing we want to talk about was an in-store event we did last week, and that was our I Want More Comics book club. We had our very first meeting to discuss We Three by Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really surprised by how big of a success it was.
I want to thank everybody that if you're fortunate enough to be listening to this podcast and going to the club, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It means a lot to, you know, we put ourselves out there every time we do some kind of venture like this. And when you show up, I can't tell you how much it means to us to be able to provide a place for, you know, just geeking out about stuff. It's kind of the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Well, I dig the fact that people get to kind of go outside their normal boundary.
Yes.
Maybe try a new book.
Well, something
they never read.
We actually spoke. I said that this is going to kind of be like the haunting of Sean Anderson. Like, the book club will always have this, like, hint of Sean Anderson haunting you, because he's always the guy that's like, no, try this. No, I know you like that, but try this too.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think four of us in the club.
Most of those books.
Four of us in the club were like, yeah, Sean pushed us to read this book, and Sean put this in my hand. And
yes.
So it definitely is, I think it... People that hadn't read it needed to read it.
Yes.
I like that there was a whole vast majority on the scale of who had read this or who's never read it.
Yep.
There was someone that had read it every day since, like, he had loved the comics since he was in college and hasn't stopped loving it. He constantly reads it over
reads
and over
it all
again.
The time. Yep.
Who was that?
His name was Ryan?
Yes, I think that's correct.
It was Ryan?
Yeah.
You liked it that much, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's another thing,
For all you out there, I didn't get to be part of the book club because I have to work the store.
He has to run the store.
He has to run the store. And to peek behind the curtain a little bit, when we were setting this up, I ordered so many trades of We Three, and we sold 12 copies.
We had one left.
Yeah, we had one left. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, 12 people. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then 8 people showed up, and only 2 of the 8
were people that bought those.
There were people that bought it through us. The rest were. So there's like.
They had all these old books.
There's like 20 people out there that could have come.
Yeah.
But because of, you know, whatever, which is fine. You don't have to buy the book to show up.
No.
If you've just read it.
That's the point of the book club as well, is like Sean said, is to get you to read something different. So take advantage of that. Don't think that you have to come to the book club to buy the book, and don't think you have to buy the book to come to the book club.
Or if you've actually read the book and you can come and discuss it with other people who have now read the book, because maybe you didn't know anybody else who did.
Which is exactly what happened. mentioned.
Yep.
We had a lot of people talk about, I think the biggest topic was Frank Quietly.
It was Frank Quietly art.
And
that
art.
Was really interesting.
He can be polarizing.
I really
like his stuff, but I know there's people that can't stand it.
So. I do too, and it was interesting having the discussion with the people who don't like it, were mad to it, or loved it.
Well, the first time I ever saw it, and I remember seeing it, I didn't really care for it at that time either, though. And it took me a little bit of kind of getting used to his style to where I was like, I actually like his stuff a lot.
Yeah, it's like a...
Because after reading him in Authority, I loved his stuff.
Right.
Because his artwork in Authority, I was like, oh, this is so good. It so fits this story.
Right.
So
I would say this, it's like, you know, when you first hear an album or something, you kind of... Sometimes albums, you can be like, oh, I really don't like this, but after, you
That was
know,
my,
you
my favorite album of all time is that well, way.
Right, you're like,
The
oh,
first
wait,
time
no,
I heard it, I was like, I don't...
I really
did. I don't think I like this.
I love this thing. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah. And then it was a good year. Year later, when I listened to the album again, I just put it on to thinking, I'm just going to sell the CD. Screw this.
Right.
I'm going to put it on. I'm going to do some stuff, and it's going to be in the background. Maybe I'll listen to it. And it was like a year later, and I listened to that album. Was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Sometimes
books catch you like that.
Right. They do. So when they hit you at a different time, it's great. But
I also love Frank Quietly, but one of the descriptions was that most of his people look like bobbleheads, and honestly, I couldn't argue against it. I was like, you know what? I'll give you that.
No.
That's fine.
No. Well, and we had some really fun discussions about what we think that the story meant and
why those animals were chosen.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So for the people really quickly who maybe if they haven't stopped in the store or they don't know what this is, we're doing a book club every month, the last Thursday of every month, from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. We're going to be doing different books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who's going to be leading it. I'm also the one who's doing the picking right now. That doesn't mean that I won't take suggestions, but right now I kind of have a slate of
just
books.
Just know your suggestions going in a line that we have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so. Because the biggest thing about the book club I wanted to do was I wanted to pick things that were outside of people's normal view.
Mm-hmm.
Like We Three, I picked because a lot of people said, oh, I don't really like Grant Morrison or he can get too crazy for me. And when we picked it, I was like, no, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The new book that we're going to be doing for
all these books or stuff I've read.
Yeah, the new book we're going to be doing for the end of March is going to be
30th.
They're going to be the 30th. Is going to be Criminal by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's of course the people who the person who worked on Captain America. If you saw the Winter Soldier movie, they based that movie off of his run on Captain America. He's written Daredevil. He's written X-Men.
Currently doing Kill or Be Killed.
Yep, from Image Comics.
This is the same team that did Fade Out.
Yes.
He's been doing work with Sean Phillips for
a long time.
Oh, he's got to be rolling up on 20 years.
Almost 20 years.
And we've already discussed this when we were talking Fade Out back in the day and how brilliant these two are at creating a world. And Criminal being one of those worlds that was fantastic.
Exactly, yeah. And that is pure crime noir.
Right.
There's no superheroes.
The beauty behind Criminal, though, is that you don't necessarily have to continue reading if you don't want to.
No, exactly. They're self-contained stories
in the same town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like the first volume I picked, you can read on, of course. But
and center characters in this book might be in one or two panels in another story.
Yes. But if you don't have to read it past that. So, and again, I wanted to do something really crime noir, something totally different, not superhero at all. And then next month, a little hint, we are going to do something superhero-ish, but it's going to be something that not a lot of people have read, mm-hmm. but it's a love letter to comic books and to the superhero genre.
Nice.
So it's a great, it was great, I had a lot of fun.
I did as well.
I definitely think people should come check it out. We do a discount for anybody who wants to participate. If you want to buy the book.
Yeah, it's 25% for buyers and 30% for Hold Slot members.
Exactly. And that's going to be the entire month leading up to the book club meeting.
Uh-huh.
So, and like I said, you don't have to buy it. If you want to rent it from the library, if you already own it, cool. You don't have to buy to come. But if you do want to buy it, we'll always have them available. They're right up at the front counter, so you don't have to search it out.
All right.
So,
with that, why don't we move into our picks?
Picks of the week, excellent.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and start because I want to get mine out of the way.
Yes.
I am picking Batman again. This is... I know.
Number 18.
I looked, and there were a lot of titles that came out that week that I would like to talk about, but to be honest, I went with what truly just made me giddy, and what I would absolutely give to anyone that would ask me my opinion of it. So this is why it's my pick. Plus, I haven't got to explain David Finch and his artwork.
Well, I was gonna say I hope you brought up David Finch because he's the star.
He started on this arc. The arc's called I Am Bane, and since in his hands, I think that he can pull out more of Tom King's story than even Tom King expected. And truth be told, there could be no words in this comic at all, and it would be a fantastic Batman comic.
Yeah.
The thing that Tom King does that I don't think a lot of people recognize is that he pulls from a classically trained style of Batman. It's very, like, this is a classic Batman Bane fight. It starts off with them standing in the rain and just challenging each other, and then he gives you an origin story, and it just, through that, you're just witnessing a beatdown that is Batman versus Bane.
Yeah.
And the artwork is not only stunning, but then David Finch hints at, like, year one stylistic, you know, and channels panels from that comic specifically to enhance the origin, which is another thing I think that's Tom King doing work there.
Yes.
He pulls from elements of the past and kind of challenges that. With the Cat and the Bat arc, it was them having an argument of their origin story, where they met, which real people do all the time.
Sure.
But in this case, it was two different origin stories written by two different people. You have Bob Kane and you have Frank Miller, and both of them think that that's how they met, but they'll never win on the argument.
Sure.
Which is just fantastic. So Zach, you and I looked at this book, and just staring at it, I've read it twice.
It's ridiculous how good the art. We talked about it when it came out. Right. I said I think this is the best that Dave Finch has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the store that Wednesday said, "Well, I mean, Dave Finch has always been good." And I went, "Yes, Dave Finch has been good for a long, long time."
Mm-hmm.
But I've looked at some of his older stuff that I really liked, some of his Moon Knight, even when he was doing Batman the Dark Knight from back in the New 52.
Uh-huh.
And when you compare it, he is on a different level with this book, in my opinion. It's always been cool. It's always been stylistic and beautiful. But he is just, he's at 11.
Yeah. With this absolutely. Book. And like I said, I think that even if your thought of Tom King and his script writing right now is rough, I would argue that David Finch's artwork is carrying it to a different level. And the story itself is crisp, it's to the point, and it's fun to follow. So
yeah,
great book. I was truly excited about this book, and I can't apologize for being just emphatic about this Batman issue.
I want to buy a page from it, but I'm afraid it's going to be like $5,000.
We
might be a bit much there.
Yeah,
the cover alone is so.
The cover. Well, we saw that the cover was going for $10,000.
Yes,
from
cover,
Dave Finch.
The cover's the $10,000 cover. So.
And then we looked at some pages from issue 17 that didn't even have Bane.
Right.
It had like some Batman on there, and it was like $7,000. I went, well, some of the pages in there with Batman and Bane, it'd probably be a lot, but they're so beautiful. I definitely. And when I say this on the podcast and in person, when I say that I think that the artwork is worth admission alone, there are some books, Seven to Eternity, and this right there, the $3, is worth that art right there.
Yeah. So, that's definitely my pick, is Batman number 18.
Very nice. Sean, what do you got?
I don't read stuff.
Well, okay, what pictures did you look at?
all the pretty
shiny pictures.
So Vertigo put out this book called Savage Things, which I dug a lot. And it kind of took me by surprise because for whatever reason, on the radar, this one was not even in my thought. It wasn't until I was putting the books out for sale the next day that I saw it. I was like, a new Vertigo book. I was like, oh, I got to look at this.
Right.
And I stood there and read the thing in one quick shot because I was like, this is awesome.
Right.
So the whole idea of this book is, imagine if a government agency kidnapped a bunch of kids to make them, but they knew they were going to be serial killers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So they kidnapped him and cultivated him to be like a death squad for him. They realized that they couldn't control him, so they started wiping him out. And then there, now there's a new threat coming in, and they're kind of retapping the kids that they know got away.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. It was awesome.
It was really good. Super dark.
It's a pretty dark
book. Super dark. And I like dark stuff, but even I went, this is pretty dark.
Well, you are seriously looking at these kids, and they're kids in certain parts of it where they are, you know, they ask them simple questions, and they're taking the most violent path because they are sociopaths.
Right.
Complete sociopaths.
Right. And they're essentially exploiting this, you know.
They're exploiting the fact that they know that they're going to be sociopaths.
Correct. Yep.
So.
And this was a sleeper. And I would say that.
Oh, yeah, and then the thing is, I read it the night before, and then I pushed it to everybody, and we sold out of it.
So if you're looking for it, unfortunately.
Well, no, we're getting more copies in this week.
This week, yeah.
So we'll have 15 more copies at least.
Good, yeah, because we did push the crap out of it, because we were like, what?
It was very good. Sean said when I walked in on Wednesday morning,
to him, I was like, you got to read this.
You got to read this. And I went, okay. And I sat and I read it, and I went, yeah, this is really good. The funny thing for me, and maybe it's just because, well, we deal with so many titles.
Right.
But I thought it was the sequel to Sheriff of Babylon.
Oh, no.
I thought it was Tom King's. And I went, oh, okay, because I thought there was a rumor that he was going to go back to Sheriff of Babylon.
Right.
But he said he was going to call it something completely different. He's like, it's not going to be called Sheriff of Babylon. It's going to be called something else with an S.
Right.
So I went, okay. And he's like, you got to read this. I'm like, the sequel to Sheriff of Babylon? Okay.
No, you got that all wrong.
Yeah. And then I read it. And I'm like, no, this is not. It's not written by anybody.
That's a little jarring.
Justin Jordan was the writer.
Yeah.
He wrote the Luther Strode books for Image.
Yes, yes. And he also worked a little bit on some DC stuff at the end of the New 52. But, yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
And the artist is Ibrahim Mustafa, who did High Crimes. I think I probably butchered his first name.
It happens.
But
the art was decent in it, too. It didn't take away from the story.
Oh, no. The art fit perfectly. Yeah. I don't know. I dug this book a lot.
It was good.
Highly recommend it. We'll have more copies here in a hot minute. Of course, by the time you hear this, maybe.
Yeah, good
maybe
luck.
We won't have those copies anymore.
You never know. But we'll try and keep it in stock, because anything that Sean and everyone can agree, we try and keep it in stock as much as we can.
Until they sell out. What do you got for us?
I went a little different with my pick. And my pick is going to be The Clone Conspiracy Omega number 1. This is going to be the epilogue to the Clone Conspiracy event that they just wrapped up in the Spider-Man books.
Right.
And I will say that...
How did that come to head? Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. Did you enjoy it?
I really did enjoy it.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm picking this book, because I thought that the last couple issues of Spider-Man, the last couple issues of Clone Conspiracy, really brought it back to the things that I love about Spider-Man. It brought it to the over-the-top, fun... Spider-Man-ness of old.
Right.
Because, you know, one of the things that they've done is that they've tried to make him a little bit more modern, you know, more with Tony Stark-like money and technology. But this was harkening back to his history, which I dig. And one of the issues, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Amazing Spider-Man 24.
Uh-huh.
The entire issue was a meeting of Gwen Stacy and Spider-Man, because Gwen Stacy got cloned, but it has all the memories of the original Gwen Stacy. And this isn't really a spoiler, because she was on like every cover there for a couple months. Right. And that was a great issue, because it was really, it's about them going through their problems and Gwen Stacy going, why didn't you hold on to me for the last 30 years?
Right.
And Spider-Man, you'd think it'd be like sappy and like, but he really goes, no, look, this is what's happened.
Right.
And it was fantastic. So the ending really brought it back to a fun Spider-Man level, which I really enjoyed. And this issue is the epilogue, kind of setting up what they're doing. This is going to be, there was three different stories. The first story was the true epilogue, just a little wrap-up.
Uh-huh.
Then they're going to be doing a new Spider-Man book based off of the Ben Reilly character coming back.
Yep.
It's going to be written by Peter David and Mark Bagley.
Okay.
So that creative team right there is great.
Yep.
And then Stuart Immonen is coming on to the Amazing Spider-Man book with issue 25, which is coming out next week from when we're recording this. And that last story is them setting it up. And they're totally setting up Spider-Man versus his classic villains and the drama and all that, which is one of the things that I love about Spider-Man.
Huh.
The this was a good, you know, wind down and set up for what they're going to be doing in the Spider-Man books, which made me happy. I do like Spider-Man when it's written in a more classic way.
Right.
And they do this. They bring back the classic villains, which was one of the cool things that they did with Clone Conspiracy. I won't get into spoilers about who, but they did bring back some of the people who were dead that we were bummed out were not around anymore.
Right.
And which I think was fun. They set up the new book with Peter David and Mark Bagley, which is just going to be kind of 90s Spider-Man fun. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoyed Spider-Man in the 90s, I think you'll enjoy that book.
Right.
Because it's based off of this story. And Stuart Immonen, his artwork is amazing. And he's going to be taking over as the new ongoing artist for Spider-Man. And it looks like he's being set up to go after his old friend Norman Osborn. So
that seems very classic fun.
That's exactly. Yeah. So if you wanted to jump into Spider-Man, I would say you can pick this up and get a basis for what's going on. Or if you want to, you can pick up Amazing Spider-Man 25, which is going to be the start of a new arc and after the Clone Conspiracy. Uh-huh. If you were hesitant in saying, oh, the Clone Conspiracy, it's just another clone saga, you know, and the Clone Saga has some negative connotations in the world of comics. But this was Dan Slott really having fun with it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't treat it super seriously, but he didn't make fun of it. There was never like, oh, you like the Clone Conspiracy, I'm going to make fun of you. But there wasn't like this serious dark, this is going to change Spider-Man forever and nothing will ever be the same. This was, here are some things I want to accomplish. I want to bring back some more fun. And going forward, that's what I want to do.
And I would say that Dan Slott has earned his place with the Spider-Man universe at this point. I think that he understands the voice and of that world.
Yeah.
And he knows how to push it forward to the fan base. I think that anytime I've heard Dan Slott associated with a Spider-Man story, for the most part, it has been pleasing. It's a lot of people welcome his ideas, even if they are conceptually jarring or risk-taking.
He loves Spider-Man, and you can tell that he does.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the day, he wants to write great Spider-Man stories.
It's the same way I feel like about Kyle Higgins and Nightwing. I know Kyle Higgins loves Nightwing, and when I read his writing, I know that it's just a kid in a candy store. He's having fun with it and really tying in the things you love about the character. He fits right along with most of the fan base. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and one of the reasons why I don't bring up Spider-Man all the time, because recently, like the newest run, a lot of it has been, if you're a diehard Spider-Man fan, you pick it up. But for people who are lapsed or people who just enjoy kind of the old school, more fun, kind of like what we talk about with Batman and Tom King.
Yeah.
That run harkens back to the 70s and 80s.
Correct.
Fun Batman versus his villains or figuring out a mystery or whatever it is. And Scott Snyder's was about the mythology, the meta of it all. What does it mean to be Batman? What does it mean to die? What is it? All this kind of stuff. And he's done some of that too with Spider-Man, but with this, he's trying to get back to more the, wouldn't it be cool to see Spider-Man fight the Green Goblin? Isn't that what we would like to see?
Maybe more comparable to All-Star Batman for Snyder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be. And so if you're a lapsed Spider-Man reader and you want to, you know, oh, I want it to be more of my classic, then right now is a good time to jump on.
Yep. Got it. All right. Excellent picks. And I think we will move right into our Spinning the Racks.
Spinning the Racks!
Spinning the Racks. This is a kind of like a review episode, so unfortunately,
reviews.
I'm going to give you all a warning. Spoiler alert.
Hey, if you don't,
if you have not watched the movie Logan,
it's time to stop the podcast. We're going to talk about Logan.
Come back right at this point after you've seen the movie and see if you agree with what we are about to say.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that have seen it,
yes,
sit down. This is going to get deep. Let's go.
Yes. Yes, we...
So we all saw Logan.
Yeah.
And a few of us have seen it twice. Yeah, some of us want to see it some more.
Yes.
So we've talked about Marvel movies in the past on these podcasts. Yes. This is a unique one owned by Fox.
Yep,
so, Fox. And we have... I believe we've brought up... I think when we said the best of, Sean... wasn't there that day, but he did pick, I think, Origins as one of his favorite movies for comic books. So,
Wolverine Origins?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. So, I mean, whatever floats your boat. If that makes you feel better about yourself, that's what I pick.
So let's get into it.
Let's find the
nitty-gritty. Sean, you and I watched an open... was it opening?
It was Thursday. It was the Thursday
before. It was open Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday at midnight. So we saw it on Thursday. What was your takeaway, just in general?
It was horrible.
Just hate it, huh?
Overall, I like the movie a lot, actually. For me to say this particular next sentence is pretty rare. I would actually go see this movie again.
That is, yeah, and that's very rare. Chance.
That's a rare.
Because I don't usually, especially in the theater, at this day and age, I've gotten to the point where I don't hardly ever rewatch movies. I just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
But mostly it's a time factor. I mean, if I'm sitting at home on a Sunday and some movie comes on and I've seen it before, I'd probably sit and watch whatever, from wherever it's at, I'll probably watch a little bit of it and then I'll go do something else. Mm-hmm. But I don't, like Zach actively sits down and watches movies over and over again. I do not do that at this point in my life. I just don't. I have all this other stuff I'm always doing.
Well, so sure.
I can't watch. People ask me, hey, have you seen the latest Flash episode? I'm like, no, I haven't seen any of them because I don't have time to sit and watch all that.
Well, I mean, with me and TV, it's pretty terrible. But movies I do try and watch more than all. And it's not like I sit down and I watch, you know, Captain America every
over
week.
And over and over. Right. No.
But every year I go through the Marvel movies.
Captain America's probably still, Winter Soldier's probably still, or not Winter Soldier. No, is that right?
Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget all the names of all these damn movies.
Yeah.
That's still probably my favorite comic book related movie.
Sure.
And I think I've seen it twice, maybe.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Maybe.
And I've seen it.
Rewatch Logan.
Yes.
Because from the beginning, I'd sit down and rewatch it because I liked it that much. And I know a lot of people are going to not be okay with the fact that there are definitely slow parts in this movie.
Yes.
You know, there's a bit of...
Pacing.
Well, that's a good word for it.
We'll call it pacing.
Because the stuff that actually bothered me was pretty minuscule in this movie. Like, I'm fine with pacing in a movie. If it's telling the story and, you know, that's fine. Yeah. I can deal with that. It didn't bother me. And I know some people, they need their action every 2 seconds because they're ADD kids and they can't fucking deal if there's no action. I'm not that guy. I can sit there and watch a movie and watch it for its pacing and that's fine. This definitely has that.
Yeah, and I would argue that any journey type movie has pacing. Lord of the Rings itself is a full long pacing types of movies.
Well, and this movie is you're reaching the end of a life.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert.
Right. Well,
guess what? So, the thing that everybody says is going to happen. We don't have to say spoiler alert.
I put that out there. We will ruin this movie
Logan
if you haven't seen it.
Logan might die in this one. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Turn back now if you've gotten to this far. Yeah. We're not joking. We really are not joking.
So, Zach, I know you want to talk about it. So, how would you go through?
Okay. So, I guess now is a good time for me to talk about how I feel about this. Because you've seen the movie and you are not listening to this.
Do not listen to this if you haven't seen the movie.
If you haven't seen the movie. Because I've avoided trying to talk to people who haven't seen the movie because I don't want to hype them with as much as how I feel about this movie.
Right.
I absolutely love the movie. And when I mean absolutely love it, I'm not talking about in the, it's really good, you should go see it. If I could, I would go and see this movie every couple days until it leaves the theaters. I've actually been sitting at home angry that I can't own this and watch it in my home.
Okay.
I think that... For sure, I will make the statement that I think that it is Dark Knight level quality.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not going to get into the arguments like some people want to online and stuff. Which one's better? You know, oh, Joker's better. None of that stuff. But I think that the quality of the film, the fact that people who don't like or are not into comic book movies can watch this movie and get something out of it, I think is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this movie should be nominated for some Academy Awards. It probably won't be because they released it in March.
Mm-hmm.
And the Academy Awards is still like 11 months away because we just got done with them. But if this would have released around there, I think Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman would get some nominations because I think it's some of the best stuff they've ever done is in this movie. And I think that the depth that they did in this movie was so good. The questions that you have, the things that you can think about with this movie, it's not, like you said, Sean, it's not an action movie. It's a drama with some action in it. It's a character piece.
Absolutely.
It's the whole point of the film is between Professor Xavier, X-23, and Logan. And, you know, and I've read the criticisms. I don't have very many. In fact, I have very, very small. I'm going to say probably one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that I think that it's, you know, I think that it's pretty flawless. And people say, well, you know, the villains are not the greatest villains. Well, but they're not the point. If you spent time making more character development with the villains,
mm-hmm.
you would have taken away from the story of those three people. And the whole thing about the movie is the father-son relationship and a father-daughter relationship. That's the basis of the entire movie. The villains are there to push you along.
They're plot devices.
Uh-huh. They're acted well, they're fine, but you don't know why Donald Pierce does this. You don't understand why he really hates mutants, likes mutants, doesn't. You don't really get that.
Nor do you need it.
But nor do you need it.
Uh-huh.
I think that's it's so dark. It's such a dark film. And, of course, since it's rated R, they can get into some more dark things than The Dark Knight could.
Correct.
And that's not fair to say, well, you know, it was hindered by PG-13, which I get.
Yeah, but you can't really compare the two.
And like I said, and one of the biggest things with Dark Knight is the villain had such a great villain with Heath Ledger, and right. these guys don't really have, and that's not the point of the movie, is the villain.
Yeah, there's two different tales. There's two different stories.
But there are just so many levels that you can talk about it, you can think about it. The storytelling was so well thought out, and everyone that I've talked to has taken different things from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just go, you know, Logan is just an ass to everybody, and I don't get it. You know what? You know what I mean? Like,
man,
like,
if I was that old, I'd be grumpy too.
Well, but
well, what did we figure out? Because we sat down and we're trying to figure out how old he was.
He's
technically
he's old, like 269 or something.
Yeah, I thought he was like some ridiculously years old.
But now if you think about it in the context of the movies too, he has. If you go through the original timeline, he got up to Days of Future Past.
Uh-huh.
Then he went back into the new timeline, and Logan takes place in that new timeline along with Apocalypse, Deadpool, and Logan. Those are the three movies in the new timeline.
Uh-huh.
So in the new timeline, all the X-Men are dead again.
Uh-huh. That happens.
But if you think about it this way, Logan has watched Jean Grey die three times by Logan in this movie.
Uh-huh.
You'd be angry too.
Right.
I'd be mad.
But
I'd be hating.
The thing that's so cool about the movie for me is that you gotta watch the movie. I do think that there's some great action scenes and there's some fun to be had.
Yeah.
But this isn't a fun, like, if you're gonna watch this the first time, you have to sit and watch it. This is not, I'm gonna put it on and I'm gonna go exercise or I'm gonna go play games.
Mm-hmm.
No. Every line, everything that Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart are doing means something. And they just throw it out there. how do we know what happens to the X-Men? By something that Professor Xavier says in one line in the movie,
right,
that you have to interpret what that means. They never come out and say it.
Right.
The very ending line of the movie, we had this discussion when we walked out of the theater.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right.
And the director came out and says, what does it mean to you when you watch this movie? Some people feel this way, some people feel that way. Neither's right.
Right.
Neither's wrong.
Which we'll get into for sure.
I mean, for a comic book movie to do that, not just when Logan killed that guy, how cool was that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
So my takeaway from the movie, I saw it twice, 2 days in a row.
I didn't know you saw it twice.
I saw it twice too. I drugged Erica to see it.
I saw it with you, and the next day my friends were like, hey, you guys want to go see Logan? And I hadn't seen Kurt in forever, and I was like, sure. And then I invited Zach along with us.
Yeah.
So we all saw it together the day after.
Yep.
Like, back to back.
Nerds!
Yeah, super nerd. I will say that the first time I watched it, I enjoyed it. I thought, wow. Great movie. I'm leaving a Wolverine movie and I'm not completely disgusted with myself, so that means that they did something right. When I watched it, I was like a little kid just loving the fact that I was finally seeing Wolverine be Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
He's not stabbing toes or anything. He's going for faces and nothing but faces.
Yeah.
And him jumping in front of a car to get shot so the car doesn't get hurt. These are really great Wolverine moments for me. And I left going, that was a decent movie. It was decent. Then I watched it the second time. And I got to be honest, the second time I watched it, I was like, this is really, really well done. I was enjoying it more the second viewing.
Yes, I liked it more the second time, too. Yeah.
I was like, knowing what was coming, I wasn't worried about what was coming.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So it let me just sit back and enjoy the movie and kind of embrace it. On a whole level, instead of worrying about, like, is this the part where they bring out Silver Samurai and I puke? Like, it was a really good...
And suddenly I'm upset.
So I didn't have that going in the second viewing, and I gotta tell you that I think that through time, this movie is going to grow, like I feel like Dark Knight did.
Yeah.
I don't put it on the same level as Dark Knight. I'm happy that you do, but I do not. But I will say that I would even almost say that it has less flaws than Dark Knight does. Because a lot of the times that with this movie, these movies, for me, I'm always looking for, do I care to even own it, right? Because there's so many, we live in a great time of comic book worlds where...
You're probably in the middle of, because Zach pretty much owns, I think, every comic book movie ever done. Except for maybe, like, Catwoman and the not watchable ones.
Yeah,
like, I own Catwoman. Why? That's a great movie. That was actually one of the picks as well.
I'm
going to
go ahead and just leave now.
No, but
technically you did pick one.
And I don't buy any of them, so you probably are somewhere in the middle and you pick and choose for sure.
I have every X-Men movie. I have every Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I have every DC movie.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm missing Dolph Lundgren's Punisher. But I have the other Punisher movie, so yes, I get them. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I always look to see if I'm going to buy the movie or not.
Yeah.
And with this one, it's a definite buy for me.
Oh yeah.
It's something that I could watch with my dad.
Yeah.
And it's something I could watch really with anyone, and they don't need to know the whole comic universe to really just fall into the story and take.
I think I'm
you
just going to steal Zach's download code.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
He doesn't know this is happening.
Well, but you know what though, I probably can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. Release it for like 3 weeks earlier.
He does this weird stuff.
Yeah, does,
I don't get it.
I will probably buy it that way, and then I'll go buy the Blu-ray so I own a piece of it.
Right.
And then I'll sell my digital code.
Oh,
so
man.
Probably.
Give.
Well, maybe give. But
so from all of us, that's a huge thumb up. But I wanted to get, so that's our review. So let's break down a little bit more about the movie itself.
Yeah.
One, I wanted to let's just get this part out of the way. How does it compare to the Old Man Logan book that people try to compare it to?
Yeah. So for me, it
because we've talked about Old Man Logan on this podcast.
Yes, and a lot.
I was forced to read that book.
Yes,
and I freaking loved it. I did it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and we've sold through like all the copies.
Yeah, they're very different.
The last couple of weeks, we keep ordering Old Man Logan, so we keep selling out of them.
Right.
So it's not the same.
It is not
the same.
It's not.
There are aspects You can tell that the writers and the
people... I call them hints.
There's hints.
Hints of Old Man Logan.
You can tell that they read Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we kind of...
Wouldn't it be nice if we could do something like that?
Yes, yes.
We can't. We don't own any part of it.
Yes.
But we could do something.
Yes, and also they did take some things and they... twisted it.
Right.
So one of the big things, this
that you brought up
is Wolverine killing the X-Men.
Yes.
In the comic book Old Man Logan, Wolverine kills all the X-Men because Mysterio.
Spoiler alert.
Mysterio tricks him.
That's still a thing.
Mysterio tricks him.
If you're this deep in,
you probably should have read that.
So
if you didn't read it after the first podcast where I got ridiculed.
So I always looked at Mysterio as kind of a weak character, especially for Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Or any character. Like, I just kind of thought he was a weak character. I never really got into him.
I love Mysterio.
But when they put him in this book and used him, it was Miller who wrote this, right? Mark Miller?
Yes.
Mark Miller,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so when he used that character the way he used it in Old Man Logan,
right.
I was like, he is awesome!
What? Yes. And so before going into it, I was like, oh, are they going to hint at that? And they do. But this time, it's Professor X who did it.
So what do you think of that take?
Fantastic.
I was fine with it.
Because,
I loved it.
Because there's a line in the movie when he's talking about... So when you watch Old Man Logan, Caliban and Logan are kind of... They're taking care of Professor Xavier, and they're not very nice about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not in the typical, you'd think that they're like, oh, you're our father figure, we love you so much, you've done so much for humanity. They're like, we gotta deal with this, this is crappy. And you're like, this is Professor X.
Well, this is like, dude, this is what happens at the end of life. Man.
I know.
Somebody's gotta take care of you somehow.
Yes, but
they
then,
can't just leave him somewhere because of who he is.
Yes, and when you first meet Professor Xavier, he's going, tell me why I'm here, tell me what's going on.
Right.
Why won't anyone tell me what's going on? And
my stuff.
They won't.
Talk about the Taco Bell.
And when you see the movie, you go, wow, these guys won't even tell
chicken
him.
And beef and who are you? It's like, what is going on?
They won't even tell him. You know, this guy is crying out, tell me why I'm here. And they won't tell him. And you're going, man, you guys are dicks.
Why? I mean, I get Wolverine's on the grizzly end, but dang.
Yeah, but you won't even explain to him why he's there. Then later on in the movie, you find out that he doesn't remember that he killed the X-Men. And Logan knows that.
Yeah, he decimated an entire area
of New York
because
City.
Because he went into a seizure. Yeah.
He went into a seizure because his mind is degenerating.
Yeah.
And when you hear this, it's so tragic.
Yeah.
And it is such a, now you know why Logan and Caliban wouldn't tell him.
Right.
So is this the same actor that's Caliban in the Apocalypse movie?
No.
I was going to ask you that.
No, Caliban is a Stephen Merchant, who's a British comedian, who did great.
Oh,
he was great. And that's another thing is that people said, oh, a comedian's going to be in this movie? That's going to, you know, can he act? There's not
one silly line at all from Caliban.
Can I say that I think that there's probably only, and maybe this is a deterrent for some, I think there's only one lighthearted moment in the entire movie.
That may be true, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, or if you have a dark sense of humor.
Or if you don't, sure.
But that, to me, as a Wolverine fan, is someone that likes the dark and then gets the... It's kind of like a person that likes horror movies, you know? We don't fall into the... You have a kind of a sadistic sense of humor. Your amusement comes from violence, but not in a way that you were like, oh, yeah, people should start doing that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But like, oh, wow,
yeah, but
wow,
sometimes
you
that
know?
Stuff, like, I'll laugh at something or it'll hiccup me in the movie if I see something that's a little goofy to me, and I'll just laugh about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's the oversaturation of, like, a super violent moment, I know it's supposed to be, like, a real serious thing, but sometimes I'm like, this is way overdone.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you, because this is something I was talking with Erica after we saw it, when we watched it, but... Oh, I don't want to say spoiler alert, but...
Don't say it.
Here we go.
We are spoiling the crap out of this
movie.
We don't have to say it.
When Professor X dies, and he buries him, okay?
Yes.
And he can't even say, there's water here.
Right? Oh.
Okay? Right? Okay, that's a heart-wrenching moment. Now, in both times I saw the movie, when he leaves and goes to the truck, and then he just beats the hell out of the truck with the shovel.
Right.
A lot of people laugh.
Yeah, Chris Francis.
A lot of people laugh.
I laughed my ass off. Yeah. I couldn't.
Okay, and I didn't.
Right.
Because and I was having a conversation
with. At my moments
of
grief, I've reacted like that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But it makes me laugh because I've seen my dumb ass
sure.
before.
Well, for me,
that's exactly how Logan would react. To
yeah.
It.
And it would, and I loved it.
He doesn't recognize the somber moment between him and his daughter, but he goes beats the shit out of the truck with a shovel. It's fantastic.
Yes. And so I was curious about how you guys reacted.
So
because some people laughed and some people didn't. Eric and I did not because we were like we've been that sad before, right. where you're just like beating something up, and when you're in that moment.
Right.
It's not funny.
Right.
But I get it. When you're seeing it, it's pretty funny. But I was just feeling it at that moment. Like,
so
I've been there. So
I got to tell a tiny story before I tell you my reaction to that part. Because what had happened was I was super excited because I got to go see the movie with all my coworkers for the first time at a thing. And they invited me. And I thought it was super sweet. Mm-hmm. And I had thought I was going to be sitting with all my friends. So, turns out, after a miscommunication, I didn't actually have a ticket to this movie. So, and it was one of the theaters where you have to have reserve seats, and, yeah. you know, so I was kind of crap out of luck there. And
yep.
So, I find out I'm not sitting with anyone, and I have to sit by myself. Away from all my friends to watch
Did
the movie.
You cry?
So when that little girl grabbed his hand, I was like, please, it's fine. And I'm looking at some strange dude's looking at me. I'm like, I don't care, you judge me. They're all up there. It's fine. You know.
Yeah.
Well, but it was, I so got teary eyed. So then when I saw him bashing the truck in, it was like,
yeah.
It was like a half.
Well,
like,
and I got to say, is that I thought that there's so many moments in this movie that got me emotional. And I'll totally admit that. I have no problem because I think the way they did it was fantastic.
Yeah.
The can't even say that there's water here. He tries twice to say there's water here. And that's all he gets.
Yeah.
Because there's water. You know, that's pretty funny when you think about it. But the way that Hugh Jackman acts that is just great.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he's had 17 years to build up to that.
It's great.
Right.
It's great. You know,
you better get this one right.
When Professor X has the seizure, and they're reeling him out of there, and he starts saying, "I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, it's such a dark, you know. But so
to
so
be good. Fair, this is also a storyline that I think would make a really brilliant comic. I would still argue that Old Man Logan is the best Wolverine story.
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
Okay, but this came pretty close because of the elements of the characters.
Yeah.
And
well, the beats that were there.
I would say almost. It's the only thing that disappoints me about this movie is it doesn't. I can't compare it to its own saga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't watch the X-Men series in its entirety to get to Old Man Logan and feel the same way. Old Man Logan was so good that it felt like his past.
Yeah.
Performances, the past performances, not of Hugh Jackman, but of the entirety of like the storytelling that was X-Men, was better somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think back to it, I'm like, no, just garbage, straight garbage. But then I watch it, Logan, and I'm like, 17 years of just brilliance.
Well, I
capitalize this with
dude. I'm not going that far with
no, but my you point. Know what though? I will say that I've always thought that Hugh Jackman has been good.
Always,
even when the movie has not been good,
carrying it.
Even in Origins,
you work with what you work with when it's writing.
Yeah, I have never. In my opinion, Last Stand, Origins, the character of Wolverine and Hugh Jackman, I've never gone, that's just terrible.
Right.
I've always gone, he's really good. He's the way he's always been.
The bathroom scene.
Oh,
in Origins is probably the worst performance of Wolverine I've ever seen.
But
because for some adamantium claws are different than his bone claws he's had for years, and so I can't swing them around. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that.
No,
I'm saying that when I watched Logan, it changed my it was shifting my opinion. But every time I try to go back to it, it's like no, they're not this good at all. They can't even approach this movie.
This movie's fantastic.
It stands on its own.
It does.
Weird separate.
I think it's the
and
best.
They took the two best performances, which is Professor Xavier by Patrick Stewart and Wolverine is Hugh Jackman. Those two have been performing their asses off and being true to these characters for so long.
Yep.
The only person that they might have been able to throw in there is Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Beast for no reason.
Which they did in Days of Future Past, which is great.
But,
Yeah.
Those two and their performances, it's good that we get this because they should have been able to carry a movie to success. Yep. And I think
and that's the point of the movie. When people say, oh, there's not enough action, there's not enough superhero-ness, there's not enough colors, there's not whatever it
colors.
Is. Well, no, a lot
I would
of
agree with him.
A lot of people
watch Days of Future Past and tell me there's not color like.
Well, a lot of people. A lot of people were like, "This is just a
travel through the Midwest."
A lot of people were like, "This
whole
is just
a lot of beige in this."
a drama bummer western.
Have you ever watched No Country for Old Men?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what those. Those the whole point is to see those guys and the new girl who's playing X-23.
Oh, that's what I wanted to end on is X-23. Yeah.
Well, and we also need the question about what is...
Okay, yeah, that'll be the ending.
But that'll be
so let's get into X-23.
Yes.
Now you brought her up.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
She's fantastic.
She was great.
I was surprised.
Unbelievable.
She made me care about... I've liked X-23. Every time she's appeared in the comics, I go, she's cool.
I love the fact that she didn't have a line for like half the movie.
Oh, and when she did, she goes off. It's so good.
It was good.
And stop hitting me.
That was awesome. That was awesome. But, yeah, and her reaction to the ending...
Right.
That's what gets...
Well, that's what I was saying, is you have Logan's speech, which doesn't happen, and then she does a speech about Logan, and it does a pullback from Xavier's favorite movie.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense, and it works, and it's beautiful, and...
Yes.
What, Shane?
Shane, yep. Yeah.
I knew... She was going to recite all that at the end when she's watching it. So I'm like, this is happening.
Again. Yeah, why do you put that in there anyway?
Right. Well, and the reason, and they put that in there for the people who've never seen.
Parallel between the two movies.
Yes.
That's why.
Right. Exactly. And the people who've never seen Shane would know this is the theme of Shane.
Yeah.
This is the theme of Logan.
Right.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. It's totally a parallel movie.
Yeah.
And, but my favorite scene in the movie
is
her
Shane at the end.
Yeah.
He makes it and has a great life. What? So, my favorite scene in the movie is her introduction where she rolls ahead at those guys.
That was good.
And then in her little, like, school, like, just a little outfit with her little backpack, she's walking towards just an army of men pointing guns at her. And they're backing up, like, oh God, Laura, don't, Laura, stop.
Yep.
Stop moving forward. There's a lot of guns pointing at you. You don't care?
Yes.
And she dices two dudes and skitters off to just amazing.
Awesome. That was awesome, yeah. No, she's great.
She probably needs counseling. I think she has anger issues.
A little bit. That might be part of the movie, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, no, I think she was great. I think I'm excited to see if the actress, she's 11 years old, who did this movie.
Wow.
She's really 11 years old.
That's crazy.
So, to see what she does later on in life, I'm interested.
Like Hit Girl.
Like her, yeah. Exactly.
Hit Girl was great, too.
So. Yes.
Not nearly as this guy. I thought this was
brilliant. Yeah, exactly. So let's get...
Her anger face and her anger screams.
Great
stuff.
So let's get into it wrap up this podcast here. Logan Wolverine dies.
He dies.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, we should have said that.
Logan dies, and he dies, quote-unquote, in the arms of his daughter.
Right.
Which... Man.
He can be your hero, baby.
He can be the hero. And one of the things
another scenario where I was happy I was not near my friends.
Because
I know that Keith and Sean would just mess with me.
So when he's dying.
No, chug me up a little bit.
When he's dying.
One thing happened.
Well, but one. Yeah,
that was over.
One. When she says daddy the first time. Come on. Done. So, as he's dying...
Zachy was crying at the end of the movie. Because they don't give you a whole lot of time to recover.
They don't give you a whole lot of time.
So
it's like 2 minutes.
On, and like Zach's like, oh, God damn it. Just wiping his eyes away.
I was like, you know, because I thought it was going to be like some, you know, couple minutes, you know. No, the ending, I will say, with Logan, goes really quick. You're like, he's dead. Here's your heartstring moment.
Gone.
You're
Let's
done.
Go home. Everybody go home.
But... and the thing that I loved about it, and I talked with Erica about it, was that in the end of the movie, Wolverine finally loved his daughter, but he didn't like her. And that's a very adult concept, because in a lot of these movies, I thought watching it the first time that they were going to have the bonding moment.
Right.
They were finally going to go, "You're my daughter. You're my dad."
They did. They had that moment. They slaughtered those dudes in a circle back
to
back.
They kind of did.
That was their kind of moment when they were ripping limbs off of people. Kind of,
but it wasn't presented in
not at all.
Traditional
way.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, but even then, well, I think
mommy and daddy or daddy and daughter's destruction machines got to do what they do best.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think from his point of view and why he didn't want to get connected to her, a lot of it had to do with the fact that he already knows where her life is going to be a mirror of his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's upset about that.
Well, and also
he's upset that the Adamantium in her body is probably going to fucking kill her.
Best line in the movie? The people I care about die, then I should be fine.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
So Logan's the last two things he says before he dies is
earn this.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Save my ride. Fantastic. That's good. I don't be what they made you.
Yeah.
Which is basically the whole thing of Wolverine.
That's a machine.
And the last line was, so this is what this feels like.
Right.
And then he dies. Mm-hmm. Now, when we left the theater, I said, man, that last line was super powerful. He finally found the home, the peace, the love, the acceptance that he's been looking for since he began his journey. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And you said?
I said that, and I can't take full credit because Chris actually,
Chris
Francis told me this. He's a friend of mine, and he said, he was finally saying, oh, that's what it feels like, death. He was accepting death.
Because he's never died. He's always knocked on the door, but he's never gone through.
As the ending of Shane.
Yes. Right. And that's one of the things I loved about it was, and
you know what the ending of Shane?
Yeah, he rides off and he slumps,
which everybody in my world, I'm like,
he's
that guy's dead.
He's dead.
But there's some people that are like, no, he was just tired. Like,
yes. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. And they never tell you in the Shane movie, and they don't in here either. And James Mangold came out and said, we wrote it so that you guys would. How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Do you think that he finally found it? And the way that Hugh Jackman plays it, it's not one way or the other,
right,
which is great.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I find so strong with this film is your interpretation of stuff.
Right. Because I would say that there's no wrong answer here.
Nope.
That it could be both.
It can be both.
It's just
because it makes sense.
Right.
He's never died. He's always been close.
Yeah.
But he's known.
He's always. He may have
200
always wanted
years.
200 years of wanting to join his friends. And not have to deal with all this.
To finally rest. To finally rest.
Yeah.
And him never doing it.
Right.
Getting shot, getting stabbed, getting blown almost up. He still comes back. But this time he finally dies.
Right.
So that's fantastic. But also, he's always wanted.
First time someone appreciates him for him.
Yep.
Doesn't care that he's.
And like Xavier said, this is what a home feels like.
So which one of those are the glass half full moments? The death or the with the family?
With the families, I think the.
How do you figure?
No, they're both.
Because for him, because for him, if he's dying, wouldn't that after
he's
that
finally
long,
get dude, peaceful?
I,
yeah.
I mean, I'm 42, and there's days I'm like,
think about living for 200 more years.
Right.
I can't do it. I don't understand why people romanticize vampires for that.
I know.
I'm
you
want to live for thousands of years? Oh God, no.
No. I think we all three agree at that table on that. Well, yeah.
I mean, I get my time here, and that's great, but. But
sure.
After a while, that has just got to get old.
And I think that's what Hugh Jackman was playing.
We think we take licks, but Wolverine, he takes some serious licks and horrifying things he's had to live through.
Yeah.
And he does.
The fact that, I mean, so it's a perpetual motion machine right now of celebrity deaths in the last couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's because it's all the people that we've grown up watching.
Right.
You know? So it's becoming more, you know, like our parents were watching the Golden Age stars and Silver Age stars. You know, they were watching them die, going, feeling the same feelings we're feeling now. Well, we're just starting to feel these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just imagine if you're Wolverine and you've got to watch every single friend you've ever had or every single person you've ever loved
Even just
die.
Acquaintances. You're like, I really like that guy. I see every other Wednesday. Oh, he's gone. Never mind.
And then I restarted the timeline so I could see it again.
Yeah, right.
Which would be a bummer. So let's finish up.
Yes.
Let's do our favorite scene from the movie personally. Not what people think is the coolest scene or what's the scene. I think you did it, but if you have another one, cool.
So I have another one. There's so many good scenes in this. So I'll take, obviously, that head rolling, the introduction to Laura is fantastic. But I would say my other one is actually the simple scene of them in the hotel room. where they're just kind of watching the chain, and they're just being, because to me that felt like a family vacation moment.
Yeah,
where they're just kind of being them for, and it's, there's nothing going on in that scene except for foreshadowing for later.
Yes,
and I enjoyed the crap out of it because it's Patrick Stewart's doing such a good job at playing like the dad,
yes,
or like the grandpa, if yes, you will,
so good
that it makes me feel a little warm inside. Like, because I've been on a Vegas trip with my family, and it felt like that when I watched it, and I just, with all the brutalizing things that were happening, it felt like a really somber moment.
Sure.
More so than the dinner with the family. I felt like in that moment at the hotel, they were actually just being themselves for a moment.
Sure, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that scene.
Nice.
Personally.
Sean, do you have one?
So I'm gonna equate this to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
If you've watched that movie.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of scenes that are just really out there and good. Yeah, like, if it's your kind of movie, it's my... It's absolutely one of my favorite
all
movies
Sean
of all time.
All the time, yeah.
Yes.
So... that movie has scene after scene after scene that I enjoy greatly, and this movie was the same to me.
Yeah.
To where I don't actually have a favorite scene.
Oh, no, it's,
because I like all the scenes.
I agree. I mean, I liked all of it. The one that stands out for me...
I mean, there's definitely little nitpicky things I can get into, like you can with any movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
But as far as this movie and the progression of this movie, I liked all the scenes as a whole and how they built upon one another.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with how it played out.
I think the scene that I really, really enjoyed and the one that got to me was the scene around the dinner table when they were talking about Xavier's school and that
the special needs
and, you know, Logan says, "Oh, I've been kicked out a couple times," and
excellent moment.
And
well,
Xavier says, "If I would call you a good pupil, but I'd choke."
Yeah.
And that moment of levity in such a dark, hard movie.
Same ideas. Yeah.
Is, you know. Yeah. And then one small moment, I'll just say really quickly, when Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, asked him if he wants to watch TV.
Oh, yeah.
In the thing.
Yeah, that's so, it felt so, like...
real.
I wonder if he did that just as an actor.
Yeah.
Was like, and they were like, that... feels so real.
It's so real because he's taking care of this.
It had nothing to do with anything. He's like, "You want to watch TV? TV?
And they got like, no. They have TV here.
Yeah, you want to watch TV?
You want to watch TV because they were living out in the desert. They had no TV for months or however a year. And he's like, "Do you want to watch TV?" That moment, for some reason, that also choked me up. Yeah. Where I'm like, "This is so real."
Right.
Which I think is what the movie does super well.
Yeah. So I mean, that is our review of Logan.
Yep.
Hopefully, you guys have ideas. Again, I'll ask you to comment on Facebook. Let us know your favorite scenes. Try to keep it spoiler free there, but definitely come into the store.
We'd love to talk about it because I actually want to. I think when the movie comes out, I'm going to write a whole paper about it.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and get it published somewhere.
Yeah. So real quick before we end, Sean, will this replace Origins as your favorite comic book movie?
I don't know why I talk to you like that.
Just want to know for the people.
Like ever. I really don't know why.
I think we got to go, guys.
Yep.
So have a good one. Thanks for listening.
One day.
Snicked.
One day I'm going to stab you. It's going to be total Wolverine style.
We just did it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Only time he be axes when he's sexing my team. Like Teenage Mutants and X-Men. Fire spark when I step in. Heat a human torch, inhaling fumes of four sorts, of course. Steve's taught me how to store it in my boss store. So when we stop by the D, we never get caught. I say it again, we face sales but never lost. Either be a warlord for 6 feet short. Each day in this living hell filled remorse. But he had $1 million now way before he floors. Sometimes I just sit and pray. Sometimes I just sit and pray. Said I don't know, why do I live my life this way? Why do I live my life this way? 'Cause the apex rise on the empire size.